Heads like, no, no, no. Father, we come to you this morning. We come to you, Father, and we say, here we are. Father, we desire to hear from you, direction, answers for questions. So, Father, we say we are pulling from heaven to hear from you. And I thank you, Father, we just say our hearts are open. We say we're ready, we're ready. And, Lord, I thank you that you anoint my words, Father, that will deposit into people's lives to bring them to the higher places so they can go to do and accomplish all that you've called them to do. I thank you for this. And y'all went Pentecostal on me and said, amen. Okay. So I'm in the middle of a series. I haven't figured out the title of it, but it has to do, you know, sometimes at the end of the series I go, oh, that would have been a good title for the whole series. But it's sort of like the next things we do. And it has to do with growing and going. Growing and going, all right? Now, how many of you are parents? How many of you are parents? How many of you are grandparents, okay? Don't you love those little munchkins? They're so adorable. But you know, when they get bigger, I want them to grow. I want them to, you know, be these mighty men and women of God. But then I want to go, y'all, go, because I want to turn your room into a gym. Right? Okay. You have not reached that stage. Okay? But you know, spiritually for us, we can fall into this same temptation. I want to grow. I want to just know all these things about God and all the gifts he's got. And then we don't actually go. So I haven't figured out the title for this series, but we are going to be nailing it on, yes, we're going to grow, but yes, we're going to be the people that go. Everybody say grow?
Grow.
Go. All righty. You know, in this grow part, last week, if you were here last week, we talked about the value, the importance of coming into the presence of God. And you know, in the presence of God, we learned about worship, we learned about prayer, we learned about how valuable it is to be in the Word of God. And if you missed last week, go to ycf.com and you can listen to it. But that's part of the grow part. You know, that is so important. That's part of how we grow, but then you got to do part two, go. So today we're going to talk about part two, the go part, and we're going to talk about serving. We're going to talk about serving. Pastor Sherry's like preying my service when she's, I was like, go girl, did you read my notes? All right, and we're going to start with a scripture, and we're pretty much going to stay in the scripture. So if you have a Bible, or if you need a Bible, raise your hands. The guys in the back will give you a Bible. But open it up to 1 Peter. Everybody grab your Bibles. Or, I know, you can do it on your phone. All right? Open up your Bibles, open up your phones, or else they're going to pop it up behind me. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11. And can I encourage you to take notes? Because as God speaks to you, like, God is speaking to me, I think I'm going to write it down. Right? Novel idea. So I encourage you to take notes, write it down. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. As each has received a gift, use it, ready, to serve one another as good stewards or faithful. Good faithful stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks, the oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To him be all the glory, dominion, and power forever and ever. Amen. Okay. So we're going to go tear apart that scripture, and actually we're going to find three phrases in those scriptures that we're going to apply about serving. So we're going to go digging back there. But before we get to that, let me ask you a question. Has anybody had a server at a restaurant and they just weren't like the greatest? Anybody ever have a server that they weren't the greatest, you know? They weren't the ideal. How's that? They weren't the ideal, okay? I have, all right? Now, this specific time was probably about a year ago. I was at a restaurant and I was having breakfast and the server came up to me and said, and I was going to order eggs, and she said, how do you like your eggs? And I said, scrambled. And then she said, would you like cheese on them? I go, oh yes, cheese, cheese. And then I said, well, what kind of cheese do you have? And she says, we only have American. And I'm sitting there thinking, why would you ask me what kind of cheese if all you have is American? Like, this is a test. Do you have cheddar? Do you have Swiss? Until I finally got to, we only have American? Okay, so, you know, I was thinking that, but I didn't say that. Alrighty. So I've had some servers that have been cute. Have you ever had a server that just is like disappears? Poof. Like they come and they take your order, and then poof, they disappear. And then I need a refill. Or better yet, this past week, I needed some more napkins, all right? And I don't want to be a bother, because I can tell by looking at your face when you came to my table that you are not in a good place, and I probably should be serving you. Like, can I pray for you? But I'm like, has anybody seen my server? And I think they just disappear into the cave or something like that. Anybody have servers that just go poof, all right? All righty? And it's really interesting when you get a server and they walk in like, yeah, what do you want? And I'm like, you're my server. Okay. In contrast to that, Chick-fil-A. You go to Chick-fil-A, you give them your order, and they're on it. Like, and you're like, oh, thank you. And they're like, my pleasure. And I'm like, thank you. As opposed to some of those other servers I have, okay? So today we're going to talk about serving, because you can have this idea that to be a servant of God is a burden, okay? Like some of my servers that I've had. Or you can have this idea that serving is just so below me, like it's so menial, like I would never stop and clean up or whatever, because, you know, thank you, no thank you, right? So you can have these attitudes about serving in God's kingdom, or, you know, I'm just throwing God a bone today. I'm just going to serve this one time. Here, God. You know, you can have, those aren't good attitudes, right? Those are not good attitudes about serving. So I want us to see that serving is so much bigger in the kingdom of God. There's so many great things that God dumps on you that you get to dump on everybody. But there's so much great things, okay? And Jesus actually said, and I forgot to look up where, he said, but I can sing the song. If you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be the servant of all. That's a little twang. But he said, okay, so please don't judge me. That's why I'm not up there. I know Sherry's like, ma, you shouldn't have done that. Okay, but listen, Jesus said if you want to be great, if you want to be significant, he says you be a servant. I didn't sing it. I copied somebody else. Yes, I did sing it, okay? But he said that. Everybody say be a servant. If you want to be significant. Yeah, that's what he said, okay? Now, he didn't say, now just let me get to two sentences before you go, what? Okay, he didn't say do acts of service, okay? And they are important. They are good to do acts of service. But he said, such as, you've got two servers, two different servers, you know, at a restaurant, one on this table, one on that table, and they're doing their checklist. They brought you their water, and then they took your order. They're both doing it, okay? But the thing is, one of them's saying, well, it's my duty. I'm serving you. That's why I'm here today. Or how about this other server that they say, this is my joy. This is who I am. I'm a servant. Big difference. I like that one over there, right? I like that one over there. So today we're going to tackle the heart of what God's called us to be servants, how we do it, what we look like, how it affects people. Alrighty? So you'll go back to 1 Peter chapter 4. Peter says, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1, verse 10. 1 Peter 4, 10, as each has received a gift. So if you're taking notes, write this down. You have something to give. You have something to give, all right? Now, a server isn't the person in the back kitchen cooking, right? The server isn't the one prepping the food. What does the server do? They find the cook and the prep people finally get get this plate up, and I'm a server, and I am going to take this, and I am going to serve you. Okay, you are a server, and you are going to take from the Lord and serve people, okay? Why? Because he the cook back there, no, because he's given us gifts. So if you're taking notes, write that down. God has given gifts. God has given gifts. And we read that in that first chapter in verse 10, all right? So God has given gifts to us. Why does he give gifts? Because he's a giver. He can't help himself. That's just who God is, okay? Matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, it says this. I can't even come to God unless I believe he is, and he's a rewarder of those who seek him, all right? Now, I don't know what you know. I don't know what someone told you. I don't know where your religious background is, but I got to tell you something. God is a rewarder of those that seek him. So you know what that means? He's a giver, rewards. He's a giver. He's a giver. Everybody say, he's a giver. He's a giver. All right. He's a giver. He's a giver of good things. All right. So all of us, he has given us gifts. Praise God. Now, think about one gift he's given us. Yeah. He gave us Jesus, okay? He gave us his only son, Jesus. And he gave us, Jesus was sent on a rescue mission from heaven to earth, and he was the sinless lamb. He died on the cross. He was crucified. His blood was shed for my sins, and he's rose again. And he has given us the gifts. Everybody say, he gave me a gift. It's the very best gift you'll ever get. But there's more, okay? That's a great gift. Now, he's given us that gift, but he's also given you a gift, write this down, a gift that he's given you a gift that you're on a mission. Your gift is you're on a mission. Your gift is you got a purpose. Write that down. Your gift is you have a mission, you have a purpose. Okay? So everybody in here, if you've received Jesus, okay, you have a gift and it's your mission, it's your purpose. And what is it to do? It says to go preach the gospel, to go baptize, to go disciples, to go train them up and teach them everything Jesus taught. That's the first part of your mission. Say, I'm on a mission. That is my purpose, all right? So what is a mission? It's something he gave you to do. It's a gift that he gave you to do. You have a gift of a mission. You have a gift of a mission, okay? One of the other things he's given you life, all right? So if you're here and you're breathing, you have life, and you actually have some time while you're still here to be on your mission, all right? He's also given us resources, and we're going to talk about that. He's given us Jesus, he's given us time, he's given us life, he's given us resource, and then he's given us abilities. All right? You are just not a blob. You have abilities, all right? So let me say it this way. Okay, so how do I explain he's given you abilities? Just raise your hand. In school, were any of you in the gifted program? Oh, yeah, I wasn't. Okay, so if you're not familiar with the gifted program, okay? The gifted program is these students that are gifted. Like they're gifted and they're really outstanding and they have these smarter, okay, all right? No. I never say that to my kids. They're just performing really well. And the school recognizes that they are performing really well and they're gifted like this, and they start giving them special projects because they're so gifted. So they're gifted, so they're in the gifted program. Did you ever think about what that meant? What about me? Like, what am I, chopped liver? You know, I'm not in the gifted program. I had that attitude. Okay, but anyway, let me tell you this and write this down. You are in God's gifted program. Yeah. Yes. He chose you. He picked you out, okay? He picked you out, and now you go, I got a mission. I'm in God's gifted program. I have a purpose. Huh. How about that? I need a drink of water. Okay. So, he's gifted you in the gifted program with a mission and a purpose. And then he says, I'm going to give you some things so you can do this mission. I'm going to give you some things like I'm going to give you a personality and abilities and just the way that God made you, okay? And he says, I gifted you that. I've given you a mission. Everybody say, I'm in the gifted program. So what are these things that we're gifted with? Well, God's grace is your gift. Let me write this. God graces us to do this mission. God graces you. God graces you to do his mission, okay? So write this down. Ready? His divine ability, that's his grace, his divine ability to help fulfill his divine purpose through you. All right. So God's grace gift is a measure of his abilities that he's going plop. I'm giving you some of my abilities so that you can fulfill my divine purpose through you. You are something. You are gifted. You are gifted, all right? Now, the problem is we can devalue the gift that you have for the mission. It's just like, and sometimes, listen to this, sometimes we don't even recognize that there's gifts in me. There's gifts in you, okay? Let me give you an example. Makeup story, ready? I was like, should I tell a story? No, I'm going to make up. Pretend you're 5 years old. It's Christmas morning. My kids were like up at the crack of dawn, and they, you know, and you run downstairs, and you have a brother, I'm the sister, and we run downstairs, and there's two piles of presents under the Christmas tree. And what do? We start ripping them up. We're like opening the gifts. Okay, and then I'm finally finished opening up. I'm looking at my pile. I'm like, wow. Then I look at my little brother. Huh? How come I didn't get that? What? Huh? All right. So here's the thing. It's easy to look at my gifts, okay, and then look at their gifts and go, huh? How come I don't have what they have? You know, kids do that. Okay. Like they're looking around and say, oh, I see what you got. You can sing. I see what you got. You can speak. I see that you stand up front and you speak. You are so obvious. Everybody sees you. How come I don't have that gift? Now, I know none of you ever do that. But you know, we look around and we're like, well, I only got a pair of socks. Or better yet, I'm going to say this. I only got a rock. How come you have all of this? I only got a rock. What? Okay. So I want to encourage you before I give you the punchline of that. Our gifts that God gave you, you all have gifts. You have special gifts. Your gift might not even be my gift. You'll probably say, praise God, okay? But y'all got gifts, all righty? And he's given them to you. But the problem is, I got my gifts over here, my pile over here, is you become so familiar with this pile that you just miss it 1,000 miles away. You miss how precious and how valuable and how important the gift is, all right? And how about if God said, instead of you saying, well, how come I didn't get their gift, okay? How about if God says, you know, I gave you a rock, but it's really a diamond. Just hang in there, okay? So you have gifts. You have gifts, all righty? Now, yours is not just that you're so good at English, that you're so good at math. Yours is not just that you are just this very helpful person and you're like, well, I just always help people. Doesn't everybody do that? Everybody's out there helping. Yours is not just, I'm good at a planner. I'm good at getting tasks done. Sherry and I laugh about this one here, okay? And that's just who I am, okay? No, listen. Don't imagine your rock, small gift, or your big gift is not a gift from God that he needs you to have, that he needs you to use, all right? So everybody say, I got amazing gifts. Yeah, all righty. So, matter of fact, in the Word of God, it says, even you know, when you see, I better read this or I'm going to muff. Okay. The tendency is to see, oh, how come I didn't get one of those? But God says the seen gifts, the ones that are so obvious that you're going, I wish I had, he actually says they're actually lower or less important than many times the unseen. So you're walking around, well, I wish I could sing like Brad, man. He's got, and sorry, it might be, okay? And he's got something for you. All right. Say, my rock, it's really a diamond. And you got to see yourself and your gifts and your uniqueness is it is a diamond. All right. Now, what do you do when you feel like you're in the dark? Like, I don't even know what my gifts are. Pastor D, are you kidding me? Like, what do I do? What do I have? I don't know what my gifts are. But because we read that you all, each, every single one of you have a gift. But I don't know what they are. I'm going to give you three words to help you discover your gifts. Ready? First one, passion. Write down the word passion. Like, what is your passion? Okay? You start, like, what excites you? What is the thing that you have a heart for? What is your passion? Wink, wink. You might be sitting on your gift. Okay, the thing that you're passionate for, all right? Second word here, intuition. What are you intuitive? Like, what do you get? Like, you just get it, and nobody else gets it. Take, for instance, this is my dear friend. He would love to be a handyman. He would love to be a handyman. I had to change the names because there are really some funny stories. Because my friend didn't know a difference between a Phillips head and a flat head screwdriver, okay? So he would love to be a handyman, but thank God for YouTube. Any of you thank God for YouTube? Yeah, okay? But he just don't get it. That is not his gift. And some of you are like, you get it. Please give me your number because I'll have you over to my house to fix stuff, okay? But some of you, you just get it and you're like, well, I just fix stuff. That's just nothing. That's just the natural. Old Testament, God anointed builders to build his temple. You're not a just, you get it. Could that be, wink, wink, your gift? Okay, so the thing that you get it and everybody else is like, all right. Okay, last one. How about this one? Oh, let me give you, this was so cool. John Maxwell, he's just written books on leadership. He's just this great guy, just full of wisdom. And he said, you are intuitive in the area of your giftedness. D. Cashman's version is, you know that place that you get it, you're just gifted? You get it. It's like, I get it. It's easy. Easy peasy, all right? All right, moving on. The last one, okay? So we have how to find your gift. What's your passionate? What's your intuitive? And here's the one, recognition. What do other people recognize in you? Like every time I get around you and you say something and you say do something, I'm like, wow, girl, do you know that just blessed me? Okay? What do people recognize in you? So I have this one friend, and I'm like, holy moly, her gift, she's an encourager. I'm like, I can't even dream up half of those things. But she is gifted. It's also one of the scriptures going to read. She is gifted to be an encouragement, all right? So you kind of listen to people. What do they say about you? Ask your spouse. That'd be a fun one. Okay, all right. So passion, intuition, recognition, they give us a picture of the grace gift that God has given you, okay? Because you are in the gifted program. You have a gift, all right? All right, so we just read, we started out, and Peter said, hey, each of us, no exceptions, God has given you a gift, all right? And a gift to give. Here's number two, point number two, all right? The next thing he says, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, he said, and you can write this down, use it. I know, so profound. No, listen, you've got a gift, you've got something, and he says use it, all right? Now, as a Christian, not us, it's everybody else, but as a Christian, it is easy to fall in the trap. Jesus saved me. Yes, Jesus died on the cross. Yes, he forgave me our sins. Yes, he's seated in heaven. Yes, he saved me. It is easy to act like, well, you know, Jesus saved me, so I can just sit. Jesus saved me, so I can just sit. All right, I can just sit. Like, this is Pastor D, go and get into a good church and then just sit. Sit in a chair, all right? Go sit and soak in the Word of God. Go soak under worship. Go sit, all right? Now, oh no, don't say that yet. You're going to be, okay? All right. And now I have to say this in sake of that. It's good to sit. Come to church. It's good to soak in the Word, okay? It's really good because there's some unique things that will happen like this, very uniquely to this setting, okay? But listen, we can come to the place where we come to church and we just sit and we watch all of you serve. I just love watching you serve. Oh, that you guys do that so good. Or we come to church and we go, I'm going to watch the ministers. And we're going to watch Brad. He's ministering up there because he's a minister, okay? All righty? And we just watch them do your thing, all righty? But here's the thing. The church, by the way, you're the church. The church doesn't exist for me. I am the church and I exist for others. I exist to serve. Everybody say, I exist to serve. It's your post-it note for the week. I exist to serve. I exist to, and then the next part is to go out. So that's the whole deal there. Now, think about Jesus and his 12 disciples, okay? It's the picking the disciples day, and he's got all these followers, and he chooses with the direction of God these 12 men to be his followers. They became the disciples, all right? He picks the 12 of them, and he picks them for two purposes, ready? One is to be with him, to sit to be with him. So we do sit. We sit to be with him. We sit to follow him. We sit and we learn from him, okay? But the second purpose that, you know, the second purpose is that he sent them out. He sent them out to preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, and to set the captives free, and all of that, okay? So, yes, there is a sit, and there is a send, okay? Now, open up to write down 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is a list of gifts. It's just one gift. It's a little small gift, a list. It's a small list of gifts, okay? It's not the only list, all right? And Jesus goes, and I love this, Paul writes, and he describes you, the church as a body. Everybody say, I have a body. He describes this body, and he says this, and he says, Jesus set in the body, or set in you, gifts, as he decided. Because, you know, I would have picked a different gift. Anybody else would have picked a different gift? I don't know. But Jesus picked gifts and set them in you, and you are gifted for, you are graced for serving others. Okay? So 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Okay, wait a minute. All right. Now, the problem is, they give this list, okay, is that if we get into the sit mode, and we don't move to the sent mode, and we don't move to the go mode, okay? It's like we're missing parts. If all I'm doing is sitting, and I'm not being sent, and I'm not serving, Paul describes this as we're missing parts in the body, such as, okay, maybe you're here today and you have an issue with an organ in your body. Don't raise your hand. But I'm glad that at least your heart hasn't failed you today. You're here and it's beating, right? It's beating. That's a part. Your heart is an organ. It's a part and it's beating and you're here, okay? But I'm really glad my heart showed up today in my body. I'm really glad your heart showed up today in your body, right? Your heart showed up today in your body, all right? Now, it didn't sit outside of the body and say, hey, body, how you doing? Okay? No. The part or the gift that's inside is functioning, praise God, and active. All right? Now, there's certain body parts that, you know, it's okay, such as I had my gallbladder taken out. All right? It's taken out. But it's still, you know, it's not the best thing, and I had to adjust. You have to adjust with certain organs and parts that get taken out. And then there's some really important things if you have a serious issue and it's taken out, well, you're just not going to function the right way. All right, so where am I going with this? You have significant parts that God gifted you. Okay, you have them, and they're meant to be used, all right? They have to be used, all right? And I am so glad that people sit here and you come and hear the Word of God, because I have studied a real long time for this, all right? And I'm not freezing you out too much today, okay? I'm really glad that, like last week, okay? But then also, I am really glad for those that are sent to serve. Raise your hand if you are glad that there are people that are sent to serve downstairs, your kids. I used to go, thank you, Jesus, my kids are going downstairs, all right? Thank you, Jesus, there are people that are sent to minister to the youth. Thank you, Jesus, all right? People that, how about, are you glad that there are people that welcomed you with their gift when you walked in the door, all right? Man, who was at the front door? You were at the front door. Where's JP? JP was at the front door. Okay, and who else was there? Pam? I was like, over, someone other, was there four of you? Sherry? No. Well, anyway, just over, there you are, Sandra. Okay, raise your hand. You just get overwhelmed with these big smiles. Aren't you glad you got welcomed at the front door with their gift? Yeah, all righty. Now, how about this? Aren't you glad that somebody served and cleaned this place, that you're not sitting in a pile of rubbish, trash? Yeah, okay. I'm going to get a little off track here, but the Word of God says that those who serve, just lots of ways to serve, have the equal reward. You get the equal reward that I'm getting up front. Yeah, all right? Now, if you were sitting, because if you were sitting in a pile of garbage this morning, that'd be a little distracting. I'd be like, I would be, because, you know, I pick up all these little things in here, okay? But listen, that person that had the gift to serve prepared an environment for you. And you all have different gifts for different people and things, okay? But every part, whether you're the cleaner, the lawn cutter, the greeter, whatever, every part is needed. Because you don't want to be sitting in trash, okay? Praise God. By the way, if you head a department, would you please stand up? Come on, stand up. Yeah. Brad is a server, a department leader of worship. You can sit down. Brenton is a server, a department head of indoor and outdoor maintenance. You can sit down. Mark and Carol serve as coffee and collect.
Coffee care and connect.
Yeah, da-da-da-da-da. Okay? And they make your coffee. You can sit down. Okay? Stop. Scott, stand up here. This is Scott. He serves and leads the ushers. Okay, and I'm very thankful. Pam, stand up, because I'm going to send them over there later. Don't be bashful. You're a beautiful gift. Pam is a server and director of the greeters department. Okay, did I miss any other department heads here? Okay, and then, oh, you're standing back there. Okay, and Lane leads the sound tech department, and I'm very grateful, and you should be. And then there's a whole bunch down below. Okay, without, I'm not going to name all the ones there, all right? So, y'all, yeah, okay. But here's the thing. They just lead. They've got people that work with them and serve. Praise God. So I kind of got distracted here. Where am I going with this? All right. God has given us an invitation and a gift to serve. God has given us an invitation to use our gift to serve others. Praise God. And let me tell you, your gift makes a difference. Yeah, your gift makes a difference. All right, and Jesus tells this. You know the parable of the sower? The parable of the talents. That's the one I want to tell. The parable of the talents. Jesus is telling this story, and he says there's a master, and he's got three servants, and he gives the three servants different amounts of talent or money. And a talent back then just simply means an amount of money. And I was like looking up in my research on Bible scholars, and listen to that. They can't agree. Bible scholars can't agree. So in the range of between 16 and 20 years of labor. So a talent, one talent is like between 16 and 20 years of labor of money. Okay, so your paycheck for 16 and 20 years, that's what you got. All right, so here's the master. He's got these three servants, and before he goes away, he calls them in, and he said, I'm going to give you the one guy, I'm going to give you five talents. The next guy, two talents. And the last guy, one talent. All, this is important, you got to write this down, all according to their ability. Okay? So when my kids were little, like by the time they were three, their job was to set the table, put the napkins on, okay? Now, I didn't give them get on the riding lawnmower at age three, okay? Because that was not their ability. So God gives gifts and talents according to, I have to say that's a good thing to write down, abilities, all righty? So he gives them away, and he gives one guy five talents, one guy two, one guy one, and then the master goes away, and he comes back, and he goes to the guy with the five. He says, what did you do with my money, my talents? How about my gifts? So you know where I'm going. And the guy, he says, I doubled it. We got 10 now. And then the master goes, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Woohoo! Then he goes to the guy with two. What did you do with the talents, the gifts that I gave you? Wink, wink, you know where I'm going with this. And he goes, whoa, I doubled it. Now I have four. And he goes, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Then he gets to the guy that he gave one. And he said, the one, you know what the one did with it? He buried it in the dirt. Put it in the dirt. And this is where we're going to pick up our story. Open up to Matthew 25. Okay. Praise God. Matthew 25, verse 24. Then the servant with the one bag of silver or the one talent came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops where you didn't even plant, gathering crops you didn't even cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the dirt. Look, here's your money. See, you have what's yours, all right? Now, how many of you know this story? And the master really, he just goes, man, you wicked, lazy thing, you. You know, I gave you this one talent. The least you could have done is put it in the bank. Now, of course, nowadays, you probably won't get too much interest, but at least you could have made something on the investment, right? Okay? Guys, that's the story, but what about us? You know, sometimes we have gifts, we have talents that's just you, and we're not doing anything with it, sometimes out of fear. Like, I don't know what I'm doing. I'd probably mess it up. I'm not going to do anything. Or this one, and this was that guy. He had a wrong perspective of who God was. Like, God's harsh, and God's hard, and he reaps where he doesn't sow, and he's really a difficult guy to please. You know, I think I'm just going to hide it so I don't lose it, so I'm just going to hang on to it, all righty? Listen, but wait a minute, what do we forget? Well, we start, the very first thing we said, God is a giver, and God gave you a gift. God is a giver. He gave you a gift, okay? So here, put it to use. Just take whatever gift you have, and if you're in the middle of figuring it out, just take whatever you have and just start with it. Just start doing something, okay? And don't fall into fear, like, what if I muff up? What if I make a mistake? What if I don't do this right? You probably will, okay? But God's grace and his mercy are just going to lavish anew every morning, okay? And maybe you thought, well, God, you know, what about my time? I don't really have enough time. Or what about this thought, you know, whatever is holding you back, knock it off. Just put your gift to use. Write on your notes, use it. Write it, use it, okay? And, you know, sometimes people are like, well, I'm waiting. Like, God, I'm waiting for you to tell me the specific gift I have, and then I'm going to get started. I'm just waiting. God, just tell me what my specific gift is. And God's like, I have been calling you up on the phone. We just pick up the phone, all right? Just start. How many of you remember cars back in the day that didn't have power steering? A parked car, those. A parked car isn't going to move. So guys, God gave you a gift. Just start doing something with it. Just start, just move with it, okay? You know, sometimes we're waiting for just like, what do you call it? Rainbows, sunshines, and unicorns? Sherry has this really funny thing. And we're waiting for this perfect perfection. Just move it. Just start. So for me personally, having four little kids, I thought I'd never make it in here. Like, what? So guess where I started to serve? The nursery. Yep, I started in the nursery. And I was like, okay. All right? At least I'm out of the foyer. I thought I was going to live in the foyer because I had babies, okay? So I started serving in the nursery, and then I found out they needed some help in the preschool, and I was, you know what they gave me? Could you pass the crayons out and give them snacks? I was like, so I was faithful. I started, then I moved serving there. And then they in the children's church, they said, we need a teacher, and I said, give me a curriculum, and I'm all in. So they gave me a curriculum, and I was all in, okay? I just started. I just put some motion to do some things, okay? I remember this lady. This is a long time ago. She started coming to church, and she was real smiley. She reminds me of Deb when she walks in. Just all big smiley. And, you know, after about 3 months, they asked her to be a greeter. So this story takes a little turn, but be happy, okay? So she starts coming to church, and she's now a greeter. This is like 6 months go by. And one day, a man shows up with her. It's her husband. Like, what? Didn't know he had a husband. And we just threw him in with her. And there they are, this couple, and they're big smiley people, and they're greeting at the door, okay? And then one of y'all invited them to a home Bible fellowship, which now we call grow groups. They invited them to a home Bible fellowship grow group, okay? And they just went for like a year. They just had a great old time. And then the one person in charge of the grow group said, hey, listen, why don't you host a grow group at your house? And that simply means clean the bathroom and slap down some snacks and greet. Everybody say greet. Greet. Not hard. I clean my bathroom at least once a week, okay, sort of, okay. Not hard. So they did that for about a year. And then one day they said, the leader of the group said, hey, you know, since you're such a good host and a greeter, why don't you start the meeting off in prayer and end in prayer? I'm like, oh, okay. And guess what happened next year? They led their own group. Okay? But just start. And then this is one of my funnest bed stories. So we had a family that started coming to church. They lived in the townhouse. And because you live in the townhouse and you have a teenager, and they're like, they just got here, first one through the door. They're especially the one teenager, first one in the door. And we just decided we'd let them, could you please straighten up the chairs? Deb, take over Deb's job. Where's Deb? You know, straighten up all the envelopes and stuff. So this kid, who's a teenager, started, that was his first task. He was doing that. And then you can be a greeter. So he'd straighten up the chairs, and then he'd stand in the foyer, and he really just kind of greeted every kid. We had Deb's and Saunders out there too, okay? So he's now setting up the chairs, serving there and being a greeting, serving there. And then one day, like Lane in the sound booth said, somebody didn't show up. Why don't you come up here and help me in the sound booth? And he did. And he stayed there for a long, long time. Now, here's the thing. What was he not anointed or called to be a greeter? You know, was he terrible at greeting? No, but that was his starting point, okay? And he was faithful to serve. Praise God. So start, just start serving, all righty? I'm kind of all over here. Let's see, we better do, oh, we're great today. We're doing great, all righty? All right. Y'all, you know what? You're called to serve. Sometimes we don't know all the different steps, but you are called to be a servant, all righty? And listen, I don't know all the details about your calling, you know, and maybe you do, okay? Maybe you do, maybe you don't, all right? But here's the one thing. I'll tell you, you are called just to start serving. Praise God. So let's do number three. Number three. So number three is out of 1 Peter 4. If you're taking notes, write this down. Use it to serve others. Use your gift, you know, your mission, your purpose, your gift. Use it to serve others. So here's my thing. You have three options. Option number one, neglect your gift. Don't do anything with it, all right? Option number two, use your gift to serve yourself. Option number three, use your gift to serve others. All right. Now, no shocker, we live in a world that is just world, and it's not always good, and we also have this flesh. And, you know, sometimes it's just really hard to not be selfish, right? You know, sometimes it's a real wrestle not to be self-centered and selfish, and it's hard. There's so much self out there. Like, I was at the grocery store on a self-checkout. That's hard. I have yet to get through without asking for help, okay? But aside from that, you know, it's just hard some days not being selfish and self-centered, all right? Not only me. Y'all are just so holier than thou, okay? Praise God, all right? So it is hard to do that, but let me tell you, there is somebody who has a need, and they're waiting for your service. There's somebody out there that has a need, and they are waiting for your service. There's somebody, and you know, we can serve inside these four walls and outside these four walls, and really we're probably going to serve both, but there's people out there at Harvest the Blessing that have a need, and they need you to serve out there. Okay, I have to say that like this, okay? All righty, so go back to Matthew chapter 25. We're going to read verses 31, start in verse 31. Matthew 25. Everybody say, somebody is waiting for me to serve. All right. Matthew 25, starting in verse 31. Okay? But when the Son of Man comes, that was the title Jesus referred to himself, the Son of Man. Okay? But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then, oh, by the way, this is not if this is going to happen. This will happen. So when you read this, this is going to happen, okay? But when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit upon his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered in his presence, and he will separate the people as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on the right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. Okay, and this next verse is why. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. Then the righteous ones, all those on the right side, will reply, Lord, when did we ever see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you a drink, or a stranger and show you hospitality, or naked, I feel like I'd remember that one, right? Or naked and give you clothing. When did we ever see you sick or in prison and visit you? And here's the king's response. He said, I tell you the truth, when you did it for one of the least of my brothers and sisters, you were doing it for me. Guys, write this down. Jesus takes it personally. When you serve, he takes it personally. Write that down. When you serve, he takes it personally. All right? All right? Think about, you know, when Jesus appeared to Saul on the road to Damascus, okay? And he comes down with this big light. This big light shines on Saul. He's knocked to the ground. And Jesus says, starts talking to me. Jesus is talking to Saul in this big light. And he did not say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the church? Now, Saul, come on, what was he doing? He was dragging people out, Christians out of their homes and throwing them in. But Jesus said, didn't say, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting the Jews? He said, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Everybody say, me, him. All right. All right. That's because Jesus takes it personally. Jesus takes what you do. And Paul, he couldn't see Jesus, but he said, I'm taking it personally. You're persecuting me. All righty? So think about the amazing significance of your service, that we serve, so that you're gifted, and we get to serve him. We get to serve Jesus' needs. We get to serve him. We get to serve his needs. And you need to get that in your brain, or otherwise you're like, here's a bone. I served once, okay? So in this room and downstairs, okay, there's children being ministered to, babies and youth being ministered to. Jesus has a need. That's a need down there, okay? And then maybe you came into this building today and you said, you know, God, I'm going to give you one last chance. Jesus has a need. That's it, all right? Or maybe you saw someone in the grocery store. And I've had this happen, and some of you have done this. And the cashier gives them the total, and they know how much money they have. And next thing they know, they're putting things back, right? Right? Okay, Jesus has a need. Right? Jesus has a need. Okay, what are those? They're opportunities for you and I to meet Jesus' needs. When you serve, you meet Jesus' needs, righty? Okay, now, what I'm going to say, most of the references about serving Jesus, not all, and in this case, it's both ways, but most of the references about being a servant and using your gift to minister to Jesus don't refer to Christians serving the world. But yes, 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 we go out and we serve the world. Don't quit today. Okay, you are a light and you da, 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 da. But listen, most of the references about you and I as a Christian serving, guess who we serve? Other Christians. Right? Jesus says, by this, loving Christians, by this, the world will know you're my disciples, right? He didn't say the world will know by you loving the world. He said, the world will know you're my disciples when you love one another, when you love the brothers and sisters, when you love Christians, okay? Now, it is so much easier to love people from a distance, right? Hey, here, okay, do a drive-by, right? It's easier to do that. But listen, you get close to people, you have an opportunity to have friction, you have an opportunity to get offended, but we are called and told to love the church, love one another. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you. Listen, Loving one another is really loving Jesus. Loving one another is loving Jesus. So here's my question, and we're going to wrap up. Ready? And so many of you are doing this. It's just, I just love looking out. Looking out here. So many of you do this, but here's the thing you should ask. Am I on a schedule? Scott, we got to write a schedule. But seriously, this question, am I on a schedule? Okay? Do I serve? Am I serving? Am I on a schedule? Am I on a schedule, and is this my ministry? Pastor D, I'm not a minister. If you serve, boom, you're a minister. If you serve, you are a minister. You're a minister that God's called you to serve, right? So, whether you clean, cut lawn, anything, whatever service, okay, here's the thing. But where is it? Okay? I'm going to look at the ceiling so I don't look at some of you. No. Okay, where is it that you're on a schedule, all righty? Now, I will tell you, the first time you serve, you may not land spot on the thing I'm going to do for life, okay? For me, and I bet for just about everybody, it was a progression. Like, I went over here and served. Matter of fact, I have to tell a story about this one lady. Okay, you know, it's kind of an unwritten thing. You got babies, you got kids, we're going to have you serve downstairs, okay? You know, we don't say that. It's not written on the front wall. So she came up. So I approached her, and I said, hey, listen, you got three kids. Guess what? Here's your invitation to serve, to be a minister. And she was like, okay, okay. And she started serving in the children's ministry, and she finished a schedule. She was on the schedule. Our schedules for children's ministry are a half year, okay, so 6 months. And at the end of this, she came to me, and she go, Pastor D, this is not my gift. And I was like, no, it is not. It was not, okay? But, you know, it was not. It was obvious. It was one of those servers. It was obvious, okay? But she was faithful, and she never complained, okay? But it was obvious. And we asked her, well, where do you think your gift is? And we put her over here, and she was just glorious, okay? All righty? So here's my thing. Where do you serve, all right? And it might be just start serving. Just start serving, all right? And you know what? When you start serving, there's somebody's need that meets, and Jesus has a need, and you're serving, and Jesus has a need, and he's like, oh, thank you. Thank you for your service. No. Thank you for serving me. That's what happens. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you. When you serve, he's saying thank you to serving me, all right? So that's the right attitude. Some of you, maybe your first step today, whether you're here today or online, maybe your first step is, you know, I haven't received the ultimate gift of Jesus. So I want to give you an invitation to receive the gift of Jesus. So would you all bow your heads and close your eyes? When I say receive the gift of Jesus, I'm not talking, that how good you are. I'm not asking if you were ever baptized or confirmed, okay? I'm not even asking how bad you are, okay? I'm just asking, have you received that gift of Jesus? Have you received that gift of Jesus? And if you're here today and you'd say, Pastor D, I haven't, but I am so ready, we want to pray with you. Okay, and there's so many of you that have prayed this prayer, and if that's you, that you want to pray that prayer with us, just pray it after me, pray it out loud, just, you know, Pastor Sherry even said that, you can just say words, and they don't mean anything, but just pray this from your heart, okay? Everybody just eyes closed, just say this. Father God, thank you for Jesus. I believe he's the Son of God. That he died on the cross for my sin debt so I could be saved. And he rose from the dead so I could have new life. Jesus, I confess you today as my Savior and my Lord. And I turn from my sins and I turn to you. I'm now a child of God and heaven is my forever place. Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer for the first time, they say heaven's going bananas. They just go, woo, okay? We just go celebrate, celebrate. You're now a child of God. We also, up front, I'm going to have my altar ministers, we want to give you a Bible. That's like the most important thing. We're going to give you a Bible, and we got a pamphlet. Where do I start? Okay, with the Bible. So we want to do that. So if you've prayed that prayer today for the first time, would you come up front? The rest of y'all, stand up, servants of the Most High God, on a mission with a purpose. Yeah, put your hands to heaven. Thank you, Jesus, for my gift. I'm your servant, and I'm going. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, Pastor Sherry and I love you. We love you so much. Have a great day. There's some really good, incredible, strong coffee back there. Stay and talk to some.